I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Will you go out with me on Saturday night?
Sorry, I can't.
It's the heat wave. By the heart. It's hot.
I'm gonna get naked. I'm in the Mermaid Palace studio right now, aka my bedroom closet.
Ugh.
I'm naked. I'm still sweating. Despite the fact that it sounds like I'm on the beach. I actually haven't been to the beach all summer. Not really. This next heatwave piece I'm about to share with you makes me feel like going to the beach and being naked and free. And I hope it makes you feel that way too. It's from the really early days, our punk rock Montreal days. You're going to hear some of our early experimentations with sound design and a couple of rough edits and some very graphic stuff about bodies. Stick with it. It's totally worth it. I tracked this piece down because it's one of those ones that's always stayed with me. It was produced by Jess MG, one of the founders of the show.
Because anytime I go out, I often had to have like explosive diarrhea and like really smelly gas. And that was just like, that was just who I was. And I like was totally comfortable like announcing that to people that I knew pretty well, or just like using it as like sort of a necessary joke. And I had inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease, which is a chronic inflammation of the digestive tract. And I developed it when I was 10 years old, and it was quite severe. And by the time I was 22, it was in January of 2002, and the surgery didn't go super well. Called a fistula developed. I was actually hospitalized, sort of
started leaking into that,
and then out through a hole in my abdomen. First thing was that I saw a tomato seed come out of a hole in my stomach. Gas passed through this hole. You know, I recognized it from the salad I had the day before, and it was frightening. And I screamed my head off. So that freaked me out again.
It freaked the hell out of me.
This sort of strange connection to my body, like, is this actually doing this? Like, the idea of me having a bag, I was lucky because I had, like, weeks to get used to the idea. I have an ileostomy. It's a surgical reconstruction of my digestive tract. Along with the surgery that I had, I also had my entire large colon, which is the last, I think, 4 to 5 feet of your intestine, as well as my rectum and anus removed. And then the last part of my small intestine was pulled through a hole in my abdomen and turned over on itself like a turtleneck and sewed around in a circle. And then part of having an ostomy is that you wear what in the medical world is called an appliance, or what I just call a bag. Like, at any time during the day, my intestines are functioning, and there's no sphincter. Like most people are born with a sphincter, which is their anus, which sort of controls the flow, if you're lucky. So I don't have that. So it just, gushes out at any time. And normally I have to empty it, like, I'd say 4 to 5 times a day, maybe more, very occasionally less, but it depends on how much I eat. I never imagined myself having that sort of new body. It just didn't seem real for the longest time. And then even after I had the surgery, it was really strange to see myself naked. I was really uncomfortable. When I was ill and when I had the surgery, I had a boyfriend who was really supportive and we were really close. I don't know how long it was after the surgery, probably like just about 6 months or so. It was pretty clear to me that the relationship wasn't working. And I should say it was clear to him too, but we had like a very difficult breakup and he actually started saying some very like terrible things to me, like,
you'll never find somebody else that loves you. Your body's disgusting. Somebody else that loves you. Your body's disgusting.
It hurt me. It tore me apart. I was like, oh my God. I think at first for me, when I had it, I just felt like a total freak. I hated him for saying that, but part of me was like, well, he's like the only, like, you know, intimate sort of, person that I've had, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to have that again. Like, to me, there was like this huge barrier there. I had anxiety about it if I was ever dating somebody. I was not sure how to bring it up with people that didn't know if or whether to bring it up, of course. I mean, it's a hidden thing, so it's not really that necessary to bring it up, except that I'm sort of the kind of person that just talks about what's going on for me with like n'importe qui. And the subsequent relationships I had, it always seemed very important to me to say to somebody up front that that this was like a part of my body.
You wrote about working at a nude beach with your ostomy bag, and I wonder if you could just kind of like describe that for me.
It's Wreck Beach in Vancouver. It's a really neat culture. Yeah. I have really fond memories of it. You go through a forested area down a steep embankment. There's like a 400 or 500 stairs down to Wreck Beach, and then it just sort of opens up into a quite large sandy beach, and there's logs all over the place where people set up, and there's a grassy area off to the south side of it where it's good for bird watching, and it's like a gay pickup part of the beach. It's known for hookups. I was a regular at the beach before I had the surgery and I loved it. And but then I had the bag, and the first time was very difficult. I felt really awkward. I mean, I felt like everybody must be looking at me and thinking, oh my God, what a freak. Scars were not something I'd want to be seen on the beach with, but I was just always aware of it.
Oh my God, she's got an ostomy.
The entire room is looking at me.
Are you kidding me? Like, that's crazy.
It was,
what is it? Everybody must have seen. Nobody wanted to say anything because it was so weird.
I realized that it's not that much of a freaky thing. I mean, there was no way that I wasn't going to go back to this place that I loved so much. And so I did. I went back, and with the help of a friend, I mean, I had this sort of moral support. I mean, I was in my early 20s and had some, I think, pretty immature ideas about body image, like that it was like important to be, you know, flawless. A couple summers after that, after I graduated from university, I didn't really want to look for a serious job, so I decided to work on the beach for the summer, just selling them fresh fruit and veggies. And I sewed an apron, the little change apron, that was just like a band around my waist, and then it covered the ostomy, like right down to the like tops of my thighs. Like, it was really small, but I just put my money in there. And then I take the apron off when I was going swimming, or if I was just sitting out on a blanket sometimes, or there's enough regulars on the beach that I got to know that, yeah, they were aware and it just was a non-issue. And there's other people on the beach that had their own bodies. Each person had their own body. And I, in fact, met somebody else that had an ostomy on the beach, and I'd sold him juice a couple times, and he wore this little pouch. It just clicked one day because I noticed that he also had a scar down the middle of his belly. And I said, oh, do you have an ostomy? And he sort of pretended not to understand. And I totally knew he did. He just, like, didn't want to go there. But I lifted up my apron and I was like, no, look, I got one too. I got one too! Totally laughed. He was like, oh, yeah. And he showed me his. And it was like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah. So we always had this sort of, like, you know, wink, wink every time we saw each other, and he kept buying juice off of me after he'd go for a swim. I came to realize that summer that, like, that there was something really beautiful about nudity, and it was, like, unexpected to me, and that was that it's just about, like, people being themselves physically in the presence of each other and being totally accepting of that. Like, it, whatever anybody looked like, it's a non-issue. It's just the, like, passing time together, being who you are, and whatever happens, happens. So it was sort of fun, actually, like, figuring it out. It was difficult, but it was also fun to see how people reacted to it. And it helped me realize that it's not such a big deal after all. I'm married to somebody now, and actually the person I'm married to, he was the first person that I ever got physical with without saying anything. I guess I was just so comfortable with my body by that point, and we were just so totally into each other that it didn't even seem important.
This piece was produced by Jess M.G. for Audio Smut, which is the name of what came before the heart. This has been an episode of The Heat Wave. It's still summer, and I think it's time for you to find your local clothing optional beach and be free. Wear my favorite outfit, headphones.
Radiotopia.